Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Ah, yes, indeed. It's always interesting when Garden Mama forgets everything that she had to bring to the studio. That's why we have a text line. That's why we have a phone line. That's why we have lots and lots of internet so that I can look up the things I wrote down yesterday. But maybe not. Maybe you'll just keep the world full for me today. It does happen. Lance, you didn't call me and remind me to bring my world with me.
Yeah, I was. It's not like I was struggling, but in round two of season of football, you know, midnight is a little late.
It's a little late, yeah.
And then getting up this morning. I felt it as far as week two. Oh, God,
well,
it's week two.
Man, I got up and went outside and started fiddling around in the garden because it was so nice and cool. And then I got in the car and came to work. And there was just nothing in between, you know. Good news is we'll be rescued because Mark Patrick's here this morning. For those of you who are usually listening to Mark in the 9 o'clock hour, you have not underslept or overslept. For those of you who have not heard Mark, he's in the 8 o'clock hour today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome in.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, Mark sits in for me when I'm away. And yes, so does Ken Hackman. By the way, he'll be here in November. I already had two requests for information about when Ken will be back. That happens. It gets to be hummingbird migration season, and everybody wants to know what
Ken's doing.
Yeah, what's
right.
Ken doing? Today is, in fact.
Even the hummingbirds want to know.
They do. Today is National Hummingbird Day.
It is National Hummingbird Day.
That's part of the great joy of living in this part of the world is we actually get to see them. Other people don't. They look at them in videos.
Yeah,
but,
I got
you know.
A little kamikaze one around the house. I've just had the one. But this dude is something, or girl. It is so fast, and I always love watching them, but I've never normally see more than one.
Usually.
But this one is.
There's one that visits me every day, and then there's another group that come to the feeder.
This one every day. Yeah. It comes and buzzes, and Hawk loves it. And he doesn't really even try to mess with it. It's fast.
He's learned by now.
Like a rocket coming through there. It's like, pyong. Okay, there's my buddy.
He'll run into a wall before he'll catch that hummingbird.
Might would chase a chicken, but probably not a hummingbird.
Oh, thankfully.
Cicadas. He loves those.
Now, that's a whole other thing. I saw a picture this week online that I did not steal, but it was three different life cycles. At points of the life cycle of the cicada in one person's yard. She said, you think it's been noisy here for a month? It's been noisy here for a month.
But she didn't share the life cycle part where the 9-pound dog eats the
cicada.
No,
she left that part out.
Yeah.
That was
bad.
There are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. I don't think anybody will miss that one.
No. That one won't probably, other than its immediate family, won't be disturbed by it. I don't know how that stuff works. I was reading this week about a study that practices, you know, trying to understand how insects walk. And I thought, how long do you have to fiddle with them before you want to know how they walk?
How they walk.
I mean, come on.
At what point does research get to
know,
that?
Yeah, I want to know how far they can hop. In other words, how far do I have to plant my plants apart so that the same bug doesn't jump from one leaf to the next?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's closer than others. Sometimes, of course, it's like whiteflies, and they'll go to their home, and they'll come back and get on anything that they can eat. But there are some that actually have to move, and particularly when we get into fungus disease. If your leaf touches another leaf, you're more likely in this kind of wet weather that we've just had to see some sort of movement.
It's like a skywalk, you know, for bugs.
Yes,
you know, let's
exactly.
just go on over here.
We can go over there.
And I'm scared to say this, but and I probably shouldn't say it out loud.
Uh-oh. Y'all, hold on. He's fixing to embarrass himself.
I have not seen an abundance of whiteflies in my particular garden.
Oh, be very quiet. He'll get dry in October, and they'll all come back.
They'll all show up. Yeah.
But we have had just enough rain in spells since spring that they are not the biggest problem at the moment. We've got spider mites underneath leaves.
Man.
We've got mealybugs in everything, it seems. But those are the sorts of things that we talk about here on the Garden Mama Show because, you know, we're all kind of insect-obsessed. What can I tell you? Oh, he must. Did he know you were coming in today? He must have. Trey has sent This is you guys. I'm not even here. You guys are.
This is
dill pickle Twinkie snack cakes. The tray is sent.
What do you think,
people.
Lance?
What?
Dill pickle.
I'm trying to get
Twinkie
these cameras
snack
right. Yeah, sir. Yeah, that blew my mind.
Thank you, Trey. Anyway.
I'm going to pass on the dill pickle Twinkie.
And it is Star Trek Day, so he's wishing happy Star Trek Day to those all of us who, in fact, celebrate. I was just telling someone yesterday that we could turn that Nike swoosh that is on everything into the Starfleet logo.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on shoes.
Really easily. And of course, because it's Trey, there's a nice one. Gardening's a medicine that does not need a prescription and has no limit on dosage. I hope you will remind my knees of that at about 5 o'clock this afternoon when they don't want to stand up anymore. It's that kind of day. And probably the next 3 or 4 days here in Zone 8, you all may get a few more of these beautiful days the closer we get to Memphis and all into that part of our listening area. Because guess what? This is the moment of September bliss, y'all. Hold on.
The moment.
Exactly.
The moment.
It's a moment.
Yeah.
It may not last, but there it is. Let's see. Hey, Thomas. He's going thin crust, bacon, ham, pineapple. I love that. Oh, that all sounds good. And, of course, good morning. Those are fun. Hummingbirds are going wild in Sardis. How beautiful. Thank you, Pam. That's great. And Ray over in Clinton says you can have a truckload in if you come to Clinton. So he's Ray sending, and he's serious because Ray will give you, that's absolutely the truth. I saw yesterday a beautiful video. You know, I don't talk about Paul Gallo a lot here, but Paul Gallo got to me a number of years ago when I discovered that he had to buy sugar by the bale to fill up all his hummingbird feeders.
Exactly.
And yes. I just love that, you know. So that kind of scene is one that I do not duplicate at my house, but I appreciate and always enjoy seeing, and that's what Pam's got going on.
Right, is, you know, a bale of sugar.
We literally have to get more sugar than we need for anything else. So
that's great.
Trey is now giving medical advice. Keep a bottle of Advil in every room. I don't take Advil, but thank you for the suggestion.
Well, you know, I used to call them, you know, power breakfast was a Diet Coke, 2 Advil, and 2 Tylenol.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You could probably go anywhere after that.
I changed those habits a little bit.
I hope.
A friend of mine did the Dr. Pepper and BC powder. That was his favorite.
There you go.
Oh, dear.
That's if you're really in a hurry.
I have been in the South a long time. I was born here, but I got to say, there are the first place I ever saw dried pickled product, you know, pickling product. It was not to make pickles with. It was people put it into, I think it was RC Cola for that same situation
exactly.
In the morning. It just sounded horrible to me. But then they put peanuts in there, and I didn't think that was so bad. So I don't know.
I mean, I just don't understand though on the dill pickle Twinkie. I mean. I greatly
Come on
appreciate
now. You know
the sharing.
Y'all will like it.
No, I mean, I'm probably would. It's just that I don't understand how anyone could have actually thought that. It's just a mind blower.
Look, y'all, a few years ago, the biggest, they may not be, but I think they're the biggest chip company put out that competition, and we ended up with Sriracha pumpkin chips, you know, kind of things that don't make any sense at all. And some of them stuck.
Fire ant sprinkled.
Some of them really stuck, you know. Some of them liked all that stuff. My goodness.
Sometimes less is more.
That's very true.
Lay's potato chips hard to beat. You know, it's kind of. I mean, a basic Twinkie's hard to beat to me. The Twinkie latte, though, I will have to say that was a great invention.
Yeah, I scored on that one, didn't I?
That's a score there, buddy. I mean, let's be real on that. Not sure about the dill pickled
That's
Twinkie.
Why they were at the Dollar Tree?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they were a big hit.
Yeah. I mean, the expiration date on them might have been from 2022, but they were delicious. Yeah.
But before anybody gets
Twinkie.
Upset. I'm a huge Dollar Tree person. I think I should have written Dollar Store Cuisine back about 10 years ago when we suddenly realized that the best raspberry preserves were at the Dollar Tree from Poland.
Right.
You know,
from
that kind
Poland.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
They were great. You say that and people go, that's right, I was there.
Y'all remember the Pollander All Fruit commercials, right?
Back oh, gosh.
The stuffy lady that almost passes out when he goes, please pass me the jelly.
I have to say
that, you don't remember those.
Oh, now thank goodness. This is Ray's compost watermelon that grew in the flower bed. This is spectacular. Oh, I love it. The best one of all seasons. Sometimes that's the truth. Sometimes the one you didn't really intend turns out to be the best one. And this is just a beautiful picture. The kids look happiest. This could be like a postcard for the South right here. You know?
Surprise.
Watermelon season. That's delightful.
And an amazing outdoor kind of pavilion, too, to go along
with
it.
Yeah, isn't that nice? So, yeah, that's really beautiful. I have to say, too, there were two... I did write this down, but I don't have that with me. Somebody tell me where the 200-pound watermelons in Mississippi were grown that just weighed this week. I saw that this week. They were beautiful. 100-pound and another 100-pound.
What do you do with that?
Presumably you eat it, but I mean, you show it off first.
You call everybody in the neighborhood and say,
first you show it off. And
call the whole neighborhood, for sure.
Well, and I will say, I do like a good pumpkin contest, but when you have to bring it, not just on the forklift, but, you know, in the whole, carry it across the countryside on the semi-truck. That's pretty amazing. How do you grow it? How do you get it to move without breaking it and all that sort of stuff? But I years and years ago, was at Half Moon Bay at a pumpkin festival. It was nothing like it is now, trust me. And it was amazing how many people would literally create things and drag their pumpkins into this contest because you couldn't pick them up.
Do they have, like, security fence around them, you know, so nobody touches their pumpkin while it gets to be 2 tons.
They probably do by now. I would bet they do. I'll tell you, you won't see those, but you're going to see a whole lot of really, really very, very cool things when you join me and Mark at the Fondren Garden Tour. The Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour is happening October 5th and 6th. I'm saying Fondren Garden Tour, so you'll remember to go to FondrenGardenTour.com to see all about it. Now, I'm going to tell you some inside baseball stuff here.
All right.
When you go to that website, you're going to see a beautiful logo. The logo is just, it's just really, really cool. We're so fortunate. And the good news about all that is that that was also designed by someone in our neighborhood.
It is a very nice logo.
It is really terrific. We really have lots and lots of interesting things going on. The gardens in Fondren are really cool. But we're also going to be seeing some of the artists, and this is one of the situations. Guillermo is they're opening their garden. But I really want to tell y'all, this is the reason this event is happening is because everywhere anybody goes, they want to go look at somebody else's garden.
Yeah.
So, Mark, I'm asking you, what do you look for when you go in someone's garden that you've not been in before? What are you looking for?
You know, and I have a different set of eyes than a lot of people. Everybody has a different set. I tend to look at, of course, the flowers, but I'm big on hard features. You know, what's the artwork?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, apparently this person loves gnomes or birdhouses.
Sometimes it's gnomes.
You know, this person is obsessed with flamingos. You know, and sometimes it's antique furniture that they've repurposed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like getting into somebody's personality when you walk into their backyard.
And really, hardscape does give you some of that.
It does. It does.
With me, it's old chairs and rusty wire. And those are my two very favorite things.
Yeah. So. And of course, you know, our particular garden, everything is spray painted bright or it's super shiny or it has a palm tree on it, you know.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit. Just give us a little hint. Come back into the micro look.
Okay.
About where you're going to be, whose garden you're going to be hanging out in. We're going to do the show, and then after that, when the tours start, because you've been working, if you don't happen to know, Southern Charm Garden Design Service is Mark's business, and one of his clients, more than one, are in Fondren, but you're going to be, what are y'all showing off over there?
His charm.
Yeah charm.
Southern Lots of charm.
Thank you, Lance.
Yeah.
Lots of Southern charm.
Well, I'm going to be at my friend Stephen and Alan's house, and Stephen has a love for tchotchkes, a very cottage style of gardening, at a house that is, you know, oh gosh, probably built in the 50s, I would guess.
It's a sweet house.
It is a sweet house. And, you know, you're just kind of...
What did you say, tchotchkes? What is that?
You know, like doodads.
Okay, no, I'm just making sure.
You've
I
never
understand.
Heard the word tchotchkes?
Oh, I do. I thought it was like on... what was it? Happy Days or something?
That's tchotchke.
That's a person.
Okay, that's where I'm confused.
Tchotchkes. I have a very dear friend who has an opinion about tchotchkes which I do not share. She calls them dust catchers.
Well,
and
that is true.
The more of them on top of the bookcase
that,
there are.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you put your dust catchers in the garden, the rain washes them off.
Well, there's hopefully. That too. We hope.
Yeah. He has a very eclectic style. And this is his first year. Mm-hmm. He was a new invite. So I'll be over there helping him direct traffic and answering questions showing people around the yard. We're hoping it'll just be a line of people.
We're hoping it's going to be a lot of people and a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So that's what we're putting into our conjure. Lots of people and a beautiful day. By the way, you'll find more information about the tickets as well at fondrengardentour.com. But you do need to get a ticket, not to come to the remote, which will be the first thing Saturday morning, October 5th at Fondren Yard. But that's because luckily for me, Lakeland Yard and Garden and Trustmark Bank, as well as the Fondren Renaissance Foundation, are sponsoring me to be there to do this show and kick all this off. So it's going to be a blast. That part is entirely free. The rest of it, you're going to have to put a little money up. So we're trying to raise some money for the neighborhood. We have a lot of things, projects we would like to do and things that need a bit of improving. So because it's Fondren, there's always, there's always something else to be done. And it is, to me, the heart of Jackson because I live there. Well, you should feel that way about your neighborhood, too.
Right.
Now, next question. Lance, you have traveled everywhere. I want to hear, when we come back from this next break, I want to hear about the best one you've seen. Because I know when you were traveling for the exhibits and the work that you were doing, that you got to go a lot of places.
I went into every big church and every small church and every museum that you could possibly figure out was a museum.
Go see what's blooming. Yeah. Go see what's going on.
No,
and by the way, we have some beautiful museum gardens in our state.
We do.
And also I'm in my own home state over in Louisiana, so we can talk about those too. I just want us to understand that going on a garden tour is a whole lot of fun. It's also a learning experience. And yes, you can take pictures and steal good ideas. Or you can take pictures and be sure you don't do the ideas you don't like. Those may be the pictures you take at my house. but in any case, we will definitely look with you.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't even ask permission.
Thank you very much. Sometimes you just do things. I understand.
Right? I'll put in BD.
And you can get away with it.
Well, it happened to me. It's the right day for it, too.
It is the right day for it. Thank you, Trey, for that reminder. And we're out. We'll be right back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
You might
turn, there is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to...
No weeping here. This is the Garden Mama Show. We are celebrating the greenest, most beautiful thing in the world. And no, it is not the green Twinkies that are dill pickle flavored.
I think that's got like some, what are the, Leonardo, what were the turtles, the teenage, that's like their color.
I think that's kind of their thing.
I love the sweet gherkins in the background. I mean, are we dealing with sweet gherkins here, or are we dealing with a pickle? I'm not sure.
Is that what's relish? Is that what's in the center of them? I don't know.
I mean, that's my question. Is that like relish pickles on the inside?
Trey is writing the program today.
Somebody, that can't be legit. I mean, I don't know, but if it is, I got to buy.
We do like a little AI every now and then.
Yeah, I want to buy a box just to put them up for a collector's item. Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not opposed to AI. Y'all know that I want my own. I want the one that will sound like and talk like and answer like me for eternity. Okay, that'd be great.
You just go, hey,
that'd be great.
Answer.
But I don't believe I'm going to be able to do that. However, there are an awful lot of bits of this puzzle that are kind of crazy. One of them is that there's this very familiar man's voice on ads that appear on my phone. I heard him on the television the other day. It's not a real person. It's an AI with the perfect accent.
Over 60%.
Wow.
Over 50% of content on the intranet in the World Wide Web is now AI.
That's why you have to stick with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? You know.
Because it's true.
Are the voices in your head AI?
Maybe. And yours, they're just crazy.
Yeah, but for thanks,
they might be AI.
Do not listen to it.
Now, we can take this to the Art Bell level if y'all want to. Is this just an illusion and we're really on a different timeline watching this one?
I think I was a stockbroker back then.
Is that where we were?
I think in 2008 everything was kind of rolling along, and then it derailed, and we're on a totally separate timeline.
Here we are, a different one, entirely different.
I struggled for 20 minutes the other night to remember Art Bell's name. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And if you go look at the old studio, it's literally like in his garage.
Yeah,
he's just sitting there, got the best old school stuff.
It's
stacked. It's just stacks of stuff and technology. And what a great show produced that way. The guy was a
Pahrump,
genius.
Pahrump, Nevada.
Pahrump, right.
You know, I still want to do what he did. You know, he ran a wire antenna under this entire property in loops, and eventually the property gave off the energy. You could go and measure it. Nothing was happening. Nothing was plugged in. Nothing was turned on. That's just what happens when you marshal that energy like that. He was so cool.
I love the old ones on the replay. Those are my favorites. Now, I love George Norrie, but Art is just, there's just something.
Her name.
Before you ever remembered seeing him, too. You know, you got,
the
voice was so, and then you finally put a face with it. You're like, oh, that's Art? Okay.
Yep.
What was
yep.
the name of the show?
Coast to Coast.
Yep. Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, he did other things, but that's the one that was the majority of the time.
I can remember in high school riding around in a 1974 Chevy Nova.
You're giving
AM,
away your
FM radio, and the only thing on at midnight was Art Bell and Coast to Coast.
That was great. I'm going to say her name, Linda Moulton Howe.
Oh, I love Linda.
Because there's people that are wondering why I haven't said her name already, because I'm such a fangirl of hers, Earth Files. Anyway, that whole world is part of why we think the way we think in the new century, in the 21st century.
And the Twinkies are obviously from another planet.
Clearly from another planet.
Had to be.
Entirely. If you happen to be glancing in and you get a chance to look at our layout today, you may think that we have brought you plants from another planet. But no, actually, these are...
Wouldn't that be funny if Twinkies grew off... It was like a plant and on another, in another dimension or another timeline.
I'm still looking for the money tree.
Right. Like you had to buy flowers in a box in a little pack, but yet Twinkies were growing off
all over the
place. Just everywhere.
I like it. See, we could be on another timeline.
You don't even like Twinkies.
Good morning, Paula. She's weighing in today, and I have to say that now that I know she's among her talents, which are many, she's not only a good gardener but a pet groomer. I think we need to get to know Paula.
Yeah,
we need to get to know her schedule. Oh dear.
Yeah, I mean
Trey, you have gone off the rail.
The bottom. Yeah, it's
first
brain damage.
First is Bob Keeshan on the deck of the Enterprise.
Yeah,
Captain Kangaroo, folks. And he looks like he fits right in.
Oh, yeah. The haircut gives it away. I mean, he's definitely meant for the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right.
I've always wanted to have that jacket with the big pockets that you could pull everything out of.
Just keep pulling.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of goodies in there.
And one of the best bits from childhood, because you really didn't. I don't think we understood that the pockets were not actually as big as they seemed to be.
Right.
You know, that there
right.
was scenes and they would put different things in there.
Maybe if I had those pockets, I wouldn't lose everything.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
You've been crawling around looking for your keys, haven't you?
Yeah, I lost my key fob.
Whew.
Yeah.
Ring that one up. That's a lot of money.
Oh, I know. I know. And it was a sore subject for 12 hours.
He has a really nice new truck that he worked very hard for, but that means that the key fob costs as much
as my
electric bill.
And it ended up, it was in a holly fern in the front yard. And the neighbor who was watching me garden and came down and said hello that
Don't
morning.
Don't you need these?
That afternoon after I got another neighbor to take me to work. He comes to my yard and he says, well, let's retrace where you were. And he's like, but you were all over the yard.
That's
and
it.
He walked over to a fern and a statue of a bird and he said, there they are.
Well, now, see, if he had reached down and picked them up, I would have thought he'd carried them in there.
I'm going to have to make pies for both neighbors or something. But, yeah.
All right. For those of y'all who are following Trey's wonderment of AI, I'm now going to hit you with the next one that, in fact, is also not one I will eat. This is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Dill Pickle Variety.
No, thank you.
And I got to say, there are people that would find that to be just absolutely amazing. But we now know where it comes from. It's hashtag Brain Damage Studios.
Brain Damage Studios. Okay.
Thank you for our AI.
Yeah, and it actually does have a pickle on top, too.
Yes,
just,
you know, it does. Just so you
the
know.
The real pickle flavor in your peanut butter
just
and chocolate.
So you know. I'm sorry. That's just silly. It's funny, but it's just silly.
I love the way it actually looks like you're at a supermarket, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
It's like a supermarket background
Isn't that
to
great?
It.
As if.
It's like, no.
Yeah, as if.
Is that Sullivan's? I doubt it. Yeah.
I don't think so. Chad in Van Cleve is weighing in this morning. Good morning, Chad. It's a pleasure to hear from you today. That he does ask a good question, but I will leave that for another person to answer. It won't be me. One more thing I wanted to say, because Mark's only going to be here this hour, and I wanted to tell y'all that when you go to look for the Fondren Garden Tour information, the information is addresses and where to get tickets, and everything else is kind of wonderment. But you will see the beautiful logo, and you will see the logo on the shirts of the people who are wandering around in Fondren because they're going to be on the tour. So I should tell you that Guillermo Salinas designed it, and this is somebody that I'm hoping we'll get a chance to talk to in the run-up to the tour, because I met him originally at the farmer's market. His wife Emma's the lovely, wonderful folks, beautiful family. But then I saw this guy on the Food Network on a cooking, you know, a baking challenge, and I went, that looks real familiar. Who is that? And I had to come back around and look again. Well, it was Guillermo Salinas from Jackson, Mississippi. Thank you very much. And it was the Halloween Baking Championship, and he was amazing. So y'all go run back into your Food Network archive. You know,
right.
And check him out, because it was really fun. And it's one of those things where you just love to see somebody get their own bake shop, and he does have that now in Fondren. He has his own bakery, so it's
fun.
Very exciting.
And bakers got to get up so early, too.
I don't think they sleep any more than you. I really don't.
Yeah, and then they work probably, you know,
all day.
Got to get rid of those pastries.
Yep, that's right. And then you got to do the same thing again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the Bottle Tree Tour, we definitely don't need to leave out the fact that it's such a great opportunity to meet other gardeners in the community.
Yeah.
And kind of network.
That kind of networking is real important. And as we talked about going to other gardens, I'm still friends with the woman who ran the garden in Portland that I visited and thought so much of. She's not there anymore, and neither am I, but we email, you know.
Right.
Because you do find people that you have a like-mindedness with. My friend Jim Brown, who was the director at the Memphis Botanic Garden and went on out to the West Coast, is another person that their taste in plants and their knowledge is just so deep that you can always count on those folks to know something you don't know. Everybody knows a little bit more about their garden than you do.
Right.
And it's like Julia Child said, every time she went into someone's kitchen, she learned something. I do that. Every time when I went to Stephen's garden, I was impressed with just the amount of colorful fun there was in that garden. I don't even think I'd noticed the plants until after I had noticed what a good time was being had there, you know. And that's, you don't see that at my garden. You come into my garden, it looks like people probably sit around and pull weeds a lot, and, you know, that's what I do. So,
that's part of it.
That's part of it, too. But they look like they have more fun, so I like that. We've got a couple of churches that are involved, and I think when you do go to other places, like Lance was talking about, you go visit beautiful churches, you see their gardens, you see their projects and things. It enhances and enriches your experience, and that's really what I think. I really do think that that's what we are about as gardeners. We can be all by ourselves. And, yeah, sometimes I think of a couple of people that I know who basically garden by themselves. And if you ask them a question about their beautiful plants, they basically want to know, why are you asking me? You know,
yeah, it's like, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Because they're beautiful. That's all. I mean, yeah. There's no agenda here. It's
curious.
Just, you know, yeah, exactly.
Just curious.
But most of the rest of us want to come out and do a little, hey, what's that? Tell me, you know, let's talk about this. How did you get that to do that? And a friend just, I gave last year, a friend that's in Georgia, a seedling from the popcorn cassia that I had last year. I don't have it this year, so don't plan to come see it and smell it, but it's the one that the leaves and everything just smell like popcorn. And his is in full tilt bloom right now, so we were wishing for smell function on the radio because we can
smell-o-vision.
Because it's so beautiful.
Smell-o-vision.
So beautiful. But it's so much fun to see what people do. When he came in, that was the plant he lit on in my garden.
Right.
And you'll find something that you like. Now, we'll tell you that I've been taught, I'm a professional, I go on garden tours for photography and for inspiration, and also to be told to keep my hands in my pocket and don't take cuttings off that plant.
Yeah.
You cannot bring clippers, you cannot bring plastic bags, unless the person tells you you can. So
exactly.
There's hardly anything at my house you couldn't take a cutting off of. But in general, people don't like that so much.
Yeah, and you know, when you get in there and you start meeting them, there's always a good chance they might say, well, come see me next week if you want some. You know, don't help yourself.
Exactly. Just wait. Look, come back after we're done with all this.
It's going to be a busy day, but it's going to be
fun. Oh, this is great. This is a text in reference to a picture on supertalk.tv, and she says, was it coffee bean weed or gripeweed? It's gripeweed. And the reason I took it is because this is the most seeds I have seen on the smallest gripeweed. We had perfect weather this year. They're 4 inches tall and covered in seeds on the backside. That's
terrible.
10 million gripeweed plants. Or chamber bit, or whatever you want to call it. There's several names for it, some of which you can't say on the radio.
Right.
So, we don't do that. But it is a big problem, and the good news is it's easy to pull out. Just don't put it in your compost. Let it go to the landfill, or if you are a person who burns, be sure you get it into the burn pile. Gripeweed is one of those things that is not native here, but it is attempting to become entrenched. And when it is entrenched, like it is further south from me, I'm in Jackson, but there's plenty of gripeweed all the way to the coast, you'll see it 4 feet tall in the same length of time.
Oh, yeah.
It's scary.
It is scary.
Because it takes over the native environment, and that in turn impacts what the native wildlife can eat. And so it's a problem for us. It is a weed. It is a plant that is growing where we don't want it. And I'm not really sure where we do want it.
It's prolific.
To tell you the truth.
And that's an understatement. I've been fighting it all year.
Yeah. It happens. Oh, good. That's fun. Paula and Kevin are going to bring some folks to the tour. That'll be great. We'll have a good time with them, too. I love this.
Kevin's the weed puller.
That man is so smart. That man is so smart.
Apparently his wife is too.
He's nice. Real smart guy. Let's see. Is there any way to order a Fondren Garden tour? No, but you can send me, there will be Garden Mama t-shirts for the Fondren tour. And so I would suggest you can write to Fondren Renaissance Foundation. She might have those. You can find, there's a spot on the website when you go to FondrenGardenTour.com where you can ask a question. So if you ask that question, the folks there will know, because I don't know how many they have or don't have. But there will be Garden Mama t-shirts at the event to commemorate it.
I'm so excited.
I'm really happy about it. I still want to hear what Lance's favorite garden in the other part of the world is. And I know what yours is, but we're going to talk about it anyway. I'm going to talk about mine because, I tell you what, I'm not going to jump on a plane, but if I could, there's a couple of places I'd go. I'm going to tell you about one of them. When it comes to visiting gardens, we're all about it here on the Garden Mama Show.
Farm's amber waves of grain become your tasty creations in the kitchen. From a bushel of wheat comes the flour you need to enjoy the breads, cakes, cereals, and pastas we all love so much. And even if you aren't a world-renowned chef, wheat grown in Mississippi is used in many of the foods you buy on the grocery store shelves. Wheat, just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you. The Farm Families of Mississippi.
Do you ever feel like you are in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you will always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com today.
If you're feeling anxious,
I'm not going to tell you that Trey doesn't always win, but I'm going to tell you that Tommy Latham's giving him a run for his money.
Oh, no.
This is great. These are the pictures of the watermelon. Yes. I'm going to get them over to Lance. I have to figure out how to email out of this program. But here's the deal. Mr. Hal Vaughn grew the state record, Mississippi record, in Water Valley. The melon topped the scales at 271 pounds. He won the largest watermelon competition with a 219-pound melon the first weekend in August this year. And we've got the pictures. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Tommy.
There you go.
I appreciate you so much. They're just beautiful. I just do love it. I mean, it's beautiful when you can see people standing around it on the scale, and it's bigger than them. It's great.
That's great. You need to send me that.
That's wonderful.
That's fun.
I'm going to figure out how to move these out of here. I'm tech-savvy, but not perfect. But that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate you very, very much. Let me see. That's okay. What? Oh, that's funny. Does it really say 8 p.m.? I can't fix that. That's not my thing. But anyway, it is 8 a.m. It won't be 8 p.m. There is an evening event on Saturday night, but that doesn't involve me. So pulling by hand is the only way to clean out the gripeweed bed, yes.
Yeah.
Because the problem is that if you do manage to spray it with something that wilts it and drops it to the ground, you still got the seeds to deal with.
Because
they're going to fall right off as soon as the plant starts dying. And if only half of them are viable, you still got too many. So, yes, pulling this one out or hoeing it out or using a cobra head and rustling around your other plants and getting it out the way I get out dollar weed. You know, those are the kind of things that we really do have to do. And then, yes, you can come back in and suppress it with a seed, you know, with a pre-emerge. If it's in your lawn or in your flower bed, you can suppress it some. But it's a problem. Any tips? What can we do? Spray paint it purple. No, I don't know.
And don't stick it in your pocket because then it's going to end up on the other side of the yard.
Right.
You
don't
know? But, you know, they have invented, and a lot of people are using them. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea. It's probably pretty dangerous for the average homeowner. But, you know, they have the torches.
My torch.
Do you love it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little scared of it. Me around
you,
propane
well,
is probably...
Well, I was going to say, you and live fire is probably not a good idea anyway.
No.
But... when you, if you get the one that's made for gardening and it has a very serious tip on it, it's really, really good and, yeah. and very it's more manageable in reality than a string trimmer is at first use.
Lance would have loved this. I actually, the little fire pit in the backyard where the
yes.
the plethora of tomatoes were and
yes.
those giant plants, that's how I cleaned my tomato cages. I stacked them in the fire pit and used lighter fluid.
Off it went.
Like I took the wrong week to quit drinking.
Probably didn't have to use
Lance.
The lighter fluid if it was dry enough. Paula wants to know what his gripe weed look like. Gripe weed looks kind of like mimosa. It has that yeah. sort of leaf, but it will be in your flower bed or in your lawn. And when you turn the leaf over, the whole thing is lined up in teeny tiny little yellow seeds. And they're every one of them just about going to come up.
They look like little silicone beads.
Yeah,
almost.
They do.
Yeah.
They look like you could, you know, you it would be in a
tell
micro.
Tell Paula, I'll send her a close
a
up. It's not a problem.
Thank you, Trey.
Trey is on it this morning, isn't he?
By the way, I'm looking at a picture on the supertalk.tv that gives me the opportunity to shout out to my friends at Buds and Blooms. It's a beautiful mixed planter that they have done. If you hadn't noticed, crotons have become the thing in
oh, yeah.
everybody's fall pots. And this one is really spectacular, asparagus fern and probably airplane plant and croton and two or three other things in this great big container, so that ultimately the croton is in the center as if it was the bow on the arrangement, you know, a big flower. Isn't it
yeah,
gorgeous?
Yeah.
And then everything else is in perfect proportion going around it. If you've not been to Buds and Blooms in Wesson, find your way there. They're nice folks and they have great things. Great
I have
plants.
Never been disappointed when I go down there. It's always,
no, it's always yeah. fun.
It's
always
worth
great,
the drive.
Great real smart people, really great nursery and lovely folks.
Lance put up a photo that I took last night. Please, people. If it's raining,
yeah.
turn your irrigation off.
Yeah, put that valve in there that senses the rain
yeah.
and doesn't turn it on.
I mean, I was literally
we will talk about you.
Swimming home, and I go by in this beautiful house with this beautiful yard, and there's irrigation flying
everywhere.
Against the side of the
yeah.
house. Yeah,
yeah, we will talk about you. That's
yeah,
true.
We will. And we will.
Speaking of talking,
point and
the stuff that's here that we have today, the first one is some really cool. It's the time of year for horse apples, and if you don't know what that is, we're happy to show you one. Do you have the tree? Where did you get these?
There is a median in my neighborhood that has a beautiful Bodock tree that the limbs actually come down and touch the ground.
Oh, fun.
And they fall.
Make plenty. Yeah,
so
Bodock's beautiful.
I did a U-turn in a cul-de-sac and grabbed three or four.
The tree is lovely, too. It's a
it
nice,
is.
It's a beautiful
yeah.
tree. It's one of those really tough woods that can, it's a native that will take a good opportunity to be with us for many, many moons. I have a couple of other things I wanted to throw at you before we get out of here today. I'm going to be here for the second hour, of course, but Mark does get to go about his business, as we appreciate him doing. I wanted you to know this, that the whole thing about getting ahead of the holidays has come to rest upon you. And I heard this morning that the controversially elected president, I guess it's Venezuela, has declared that it is Christmas already there. So you are clearly out of your league, folks. There's flashing pumpkins here this morning. There they are.
There they are.
There they are. The flashing pumpkins.
How
are
about
here.
That, Lance?
This is not a new band. It's another acquisition. But I got to tell you that this is too early. We don't have enough Thanksgiving music. We don't have enough. I mean, you know, we've barely gotten over Labor Day. Do we have? Yeah, I guess we do. Because that's what everybody's doing now. There's. And
you know,
so in that regard, because I have one more moment to talk to you,
yes,
I'm going to
tell
you my favorite bat story of this week. I don't save these things. I put them out anywhere from here. So I'm joining in your holiday with the first bat story. This is coming to us as a result of work done at the University of Chicago. We all know about white nose syndrome that has gotten into the caves where the bats live, and it
yes.
has devastated populations in some places. Unfortunately, because bats are a serious natural pesticide, they eat more insects than we can spray and kill. The lack of them has caused there to be more insects in the fields that ordinarily adjoin those caves. So the farmers have sadly had to begun using more pesticides to control the same pests that the bats used to control, And guess what? That leads to fewer bats. Okay? So we got to solve this white nose problem.
Yeah.
Our bats are suffering. We need them not just for Halloween, but we certainly need them for Halloween. I am one of the people that's had a chance to see them fly out of the cave at Carlsbad, and it is a spectacular experience.
Yeah, you know, I'm from big time bat country.
I was going to say, you're from where they literally fly out too. You know, they live in Missouri.
Yeah. And there's actually a main thoroughfare. There's a cave that was discovered that they have now got security fence around it to keep people out of it because they found rare bats in it.
Stealing the guano.
Well, and I'm sure they can sell the guano and pay for the security fence. But people will go and take any kind of wildlife that they shouldn't take and try to put it in places that it shouldn't be.
I apologize for the flashing pumpkins. You know, I was at the Dollar Tree and I couldn't help it.
I can smell your pumpkin spice deodorant from here, buddy.
Well, I don't know. Twinkies with dill pickles. Thank you, Mark. This has been a lot of fun. Appreciate
you know I love
being
it.
Here today. Thank
Anytime.
You so much. We got to get out of here. We're going to let the one and only Okratone Records take us out of here. Thank you, John.
I grew up working on a farm way down south. I went to school against my will way down south. I kissed girls and I shot squirrels out behind my house. I learned a lot about this world way down south.
We are advocacy, a century of winds, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation. 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Open Season Properties is a full-service real estate company with a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority, whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Open Season Properties markets and sells real estate in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. And they're dedicated to the development of long-term client relationships and unwavering commitment to service. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
Gallo.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, welcome in. Thank you so very much for deciding that you needed to hear all of this today, or whatever day it is. We are live today. It's Saturday morning, but of course, the Garden Mama Show has a lovely repeat, a rebroadcast on Sundays, and we are always available. Probably more of me than you might want to listen to on demand at supertalk.fm. We do have an app. We are available on the computer. And quite frankly, if you feel like you can't get in touch with me, then if all that's not enough, then mamaonair@yahoo.com is the way to reach me. M-A-M-A is the way I spell mama. Oh, goodness. Let's see. We're copy editing information and doing things here. That's fun. Oh, my goodness. Oh, pampas grass. Yeah, that's really pretty. Really, really lovely. This question is, of course, I guess I did something right. That's because they set it on fire. If you are not in a municipal area, many people do burn ornamental grasses as well as lawns like Bermuda. They don't burn St. Augustine, but drier lawns like Bermuda can be done. It is a beautiful fire. I do love fire. I appreciate its work, but I got to tell you, I would rather just cut that thing down because those pampas grass, that particular pampas grass plant needs to be taken down now and probably divided. That's a hard thing to do, and I understand it, and that's why people set them on fire. I have a question for you, Lance. It is World Beard Day.
Right.
So my question for you is it an always thing? Guys are, to me, the beard comes and goes in fashion, but there's some like you who always have it.
Oh, bearded. Uh-huh. I thought you said beer.
It's Beer Day beard, also. Beard it's day. Also National Beer Day. Yeah. But I figured we could let that one go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we get into our favorites. Here's the thing. People who grow beards, men and a few women who get paid for that sort of stuff, can grow a beard. And what is that appeal? What is that? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I think probably shaving is a real big pain.
I don't like it. It makes my skin's just always been fairly sensitive to a straight razor, so I've always done as little shaving as possible with a blade. But I will, trim it up. But I don't like going down to the bare skin. It eats my face up.
It ain't necessary Mm-mm. either. Mm-mm. Interestingly enough, there are plenty of recipes for how to take care of it, but I have never seen until recently the whole lines of beard products now taking space up at the drugstore or the sundry counter or wherever. There used to be like, I don't know, mustache wax, okay? And now there's like 16 products for you guys. I have a feeling
now,
that's going to be the big stocking stuffer. It's going to be all the beard products that have come out in the last couple of years.
I've used some of them. I mean, the wax works pretty good. But, again, if you have sensitive skin, it just seems like you just put a layer of Elmer's glue, in your beard. So
that's not good.
I'm just more of a naturalist. And when mine gets too wiry and starts throwing out on me, I'll trim it down. Every now and
again,
I can throw
through
it.
My dad would really have liked to be living at a time when beards would have been more popular than when he was around. They were considered old-fashioned for young men like him in the early 20th century. So they all shaved their beards. But my father had a lot of evening activities. He was a high school principal and a coach and one thing and another in his career. So he often shaved at 5 o'clock in the afternoon before he went out for the evening. I thought everybody shaved twice. I had no idea. I didn't know that 5 o'clock shadow was the thing some people didn't know about. It's interesting. But it's National Beard Day. So if you have somebody that you really like their beard, tell them. If you have somebody that you really don't tell them, because the chances are that when they shave it off, they won't have any chin. So that particular bit of camouflage is probably very helpful, too. Not a problem. Oh, my goodness, that gripe weed. Woo! And yes, there is a picture of coffee bean weed. I found it for this person who wrote in. And get yourself over to my friend, the Georgia Gardener. That's Walter Reeves, but the GeorgiaGardener.com has got that. WalterReeves.com. He's both places. And interesting stuff on his website anyway. Fun things to know about. Very, very cool. Y'all are funny. Oh, my goodness. I love September, not just because I'm a nut for back to school. And yes, we all know that I'm one of those people that loved school, because I found myself in it. There's was a lot of things that I didn't know I knew how to do, and I didn't know I could learn to do, and I didn't know I would like to do until I went to school. But one of the things I learned to do is to edit. So when you're 14 and you're editing the school newspaper and the senior writers are mad at you for what you edited, you probably have to get a little stiffer in your spine, because if you're doing the right grammar, it's not about rewriting their stuff, it's about getting the grammar right, getting the punctuation right, getting the copy right for the newspaper. And I was happy to read a wonderful quote on this subject. My own personal one is that a good editor will make you sound more like yourself than you did when you wrote the stuff the first time, and I've had a couple of those. They're wonderful. But the secret to editing your work is simple. You need to become its reader instead of its writer. This is a quote from Zadie Smith. She's a British writer and a fellow of the Literary Society there. I think she's right, and I think it applies to our gardens. Here's why. I can walk into my garden, and I know what I'm doing. I know what this is. I know that I let this grow here because it covered up the weeds from something else. I know that I pulled this out over there and mulched around it because I needed it to have more room for its shallow roots. All that sort of stuff that you're not going to see. It's just going to look like there's stuff over here and stuff over there. And probably I, just like everybody else, need to edit my garden a little bit. I need to get a little bit more of a view of that looker, that reader, rather than the one who wrote it, the one who created that garden. So I encourage you to do that. That's one of the reasons why I also encourage you to always give yourself the chance to take pictures of your garden at different times. In other words, taking pictures now and looking back at the ones from maybe 2 years ago, if you have the same garden, maybe just last year, you will see whether or not those trees are continuing to do well, whether you're having some shrubs that are dying, whether you've got some holes in what you're looking at that you could, where you could add in perhaps a hardscape feature or even so, or something else, you know, maybe just a chair, which is a hardscape, but it wouldn't necessarily have to be attached permanently. I love September because it really is the changing of the season, and this year we're getting a chance to see that in the South. Sometimes in the South, you know, September can be very hot and very dry, and the bottles of water in at the football game are gone in the first quarter, you know, because everybody's so thirsty we have to drink so much water. On the other hand, some years we have big storms. So it ends up being flash flood time like it is this year, particularly in the southern part of Mississippi and Louisiana and even a little bit of Alabama. We're seeing all of that happening at the same time in the September world. But when it's not as dry, we have the chance to take a look at what really did stay green the longest. This is when you will notice if your dogwoods, for example, or your Japanese maples are defoliating early. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they literally just drop those leaves overnight like you would not expect them to do. If you pick the leaves up, sometimes you'll see that they have little pinpricks where they have been infested by a fungus, or they'll have a little bit larger leaf spot on them. I noticed that the hydrangeas that I pruned, the new growth does not have any of the leaf spot on it that the leaves at the lower part of the plant that emerged last spring do have. And that's because the summer is not the time when those fungus diseases get started. They get started in the spring. Now, if you have plants that you want to do things with, I just this week cut back a couple of perennials because I'm going to dig them up. I may not get them replanted, but they need to move out of where they are. I encourage you to do that in this spell. It's not to say that it won't get hot again, because it probably will. But we have the opportunity to take advantage of some more pleasant time, pleasant weather. And those of you who have tomato plants, you win, because it's all, they're all going to set some fruit across this next period of time. Interestingly enough, this is fun. Paula's talking about looking at potted plants. I saw this story this week in another case where it really wouldn't have been very illustrative to do a big deal about. But I know that sometimes we chafe about what one area or one homeowners association or one municipality may want us to do or not want us to do. And in the case of this particular corner house in Amsterdam, the flower pots, yeah, their flower pots kind of fall out down the steps and around the corner and out into the space. But they need some sun. She's got to get some sun to these plants. And so the question becomes, well, how many of these can you leave and how many do you have to take back? They were not concerned about the ones that were pretty. They were concerned about the ones that were not doing so well. So I'm afraid it was not so much a critique of container gardening on the corner as it was of container gardening by that particular person. Yeah, sometimes we need to neaten stuff up. And you will see that indeed. When no matter where you go, you'll end up seeing some things that look great and some things that don't look terrific, particularly in the autumn, because some things are coming on and some things are settling down. I do have to say that one of the best parts of being a writer is being able to go back and look at what you wrote and then rewriting it a little bit, if not for that publication, for something else. And in the case of this week's All Things Garden Mama newsletter, I was able to take back another look at something I wrote about September, and it made me very happy to do that. So that's part of this. The biggest hurricanes in my life were not in September, which is when most of them happen. And friends, we've got a wave. We've got some storms coming across. Looks like we're going to have another bit of rain next week, if not big storms. We shall see. Can I talk to Ed and Ovette? Good morning, Ed. What's going on?
Not much. Disking up the summer garden, getting rid of all the tomato squash, cucumber plants, mm-hmm. getting ready to put mustard, collards, turnips, and onions in the ground.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But I got a question. I've had have black olive trees in my front yard. Just back it up a little bit. When they cleared my land and I built my house, they never put my topsoil back. I've had these black olive trees out there for 5 years. They haven't grown maybe 6 inches. And then the other question was my pomegranates. I've had that tree there about 5.5 years. It's made 2 pomegranates, but it comes out and there's hundreds of blooms. They mm-hmm. close up and they fall off. Mm-hmm. Please help.
Okay. Well, in the case of the pomegranate, it's probably not getting pollinated as well as it could. So I'm going to suggest that you plant another tree, for one thing. They are self-pollinating, but they do better when there's two. I can't explain that in scientific terms, but there's just more pollination, so you end up with more fruit. So that's one thing. When it comes to the olive trees, we have more people growing olives across the South, but I have to tell you that, generally speaking, I would get a soil test, because olives generally can't take the deeply acid conditions that some of our soils have, and frankly, the pomegranate might not be liking it either. So do yourself a soil test this fall, which will tell you whether you need to make any adjustments for them. And then after that, it's really just a matter of doing some winter pruning and late winter feeding and making sure that we see what we can get out of these trees. They should be doing a little more than they're doing by now.
I've got a question. I'm going to get a couple hives of bees in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
Would that kind of help a little bit, plus doing the other what you told me?
Never hurts. Never hurts.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Gardner.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate hearing from you today. Yes, if you can have beehives, get them. If you can have bat houses, get them. All of these things can be cultivated and brought into your property more with your attention. We can do a little bit better for them and for ourselves, it all the way around. I am fascinated riding around looking at all of the mums. My goodness, the garden, these are called garden mums. You buy them in a container and you plant them in the garden, or you put the container in the garden. It's kind of like crotons. They're big all over the place this fall. They are not necessarily perennial. Some will become perennial, some will not, but they are so spectacular for weeks on end in the fall. When you go to buy them, certainly buy them so you can see the color, but look down into the ball that is the head of that plant. Make sure that it's got good green leaves all the way in there, because at that point you'll be able to understand you're going to have some more growth after that first set of flowers comes off. So that's my best tip on those. And, get your school colors. I think that's important. I think that's very important. Somebody sent me a note. Y'all ask the most interesting questions. Somebody sent me a note and said they had been told that their serotonin levels were low. And she said she was embarrassed to ask what that is and why that means. And she looked it up and it said neurotransmitter. And she said, what does that mean? This is an intelligent person. She just doesn't happen to be in this part of the science world. Serotonin is what they wrote about maybe 20 years ago as the feel-good neurotransmitter. It's the one that if it's not working to lubricate the points in your brain, the neuro part, where things need to be, the messages need to be moved, transmitted from one to the next, you don't get that connection. And when you don't get that connection, you have less of the impact of serotonin. Serotonin is generally involved in healing. It's involved in your mood regulation. It has a lot of things that it implies and works on. But it's one of the things that really has been difficult to measure, because we understand that its lack feeds into depression. And when its lack feeds into depression, we don't think of immediately going out and getting serotonin rich, okay? We don't think about it. But now that we are able to measure it, this is some work coming from China to be able to actually use a tool to measure the levels of serotonin, we may see more of that. This is building on research that, as I say, is quite old, but we've never actually had a way to measure things. And I one of the differences in my 2 degrees, my degree is both in English and in horticulture in college. I studied both of those extremely long, probably longer than I should have, just because I enjoyed it so much. But it is that some is quantifiable and some is qualifiable. And when you want to count it, it's quantifiable. And now that we can count some things about serotonin, now that we can measure them, I think we're going to be better off. How about that? Well, I'm taking your phone calls, looking at your texts and answering them if I can. So come on and join in. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Until I'm so sad, tired of hearing through the grapevine anymore. Because hearing through the grapevine is just a dirty, rotten waste of time. We can go. A shine. We move along, keep singing our song, straight to your heart like a cannonball.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.gov.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
We've sent that rib.
Time comes. Thank you, Elvin Bishop. Appreciate that. Is Jim still on the phone, or is he just listening on the phone?
Jim wanted to listen, and it's a common question we have had over the years, and it is doing a lot of yard work, cleaning out stuff, got a bunch of trees, mm-hmm. and I'd like mm-hmm. to find some grass that wants to grow in the shade.
Should I laugh?
Yes, well, I'm leaving that up to you.
Well, I did say this first. Other people have said it since, but you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, and you cannot grow lawn grass in the shade. That is to say, if the shade is dense enough that nothing will grow under there, lawn grass isn't going to grow under there either. If the shade is just barely dense enough that a few things will grow under there, but it mostly gets muddy after it rains, turf grass is going to have a really, really hard time. There's more sun than that, and there are weeds growing under the tree. You can probably grow some turf, okay? But it's really iffy, and it's not. I've known people that were so determined that they actually spent more time growing 4 square feet of lawn than they did doing anything else. I always felt like I could grow something to eat in that length of time. You know, I don't have that much time to fool with that part. But anyway, that's another observation you probably didn't need from me. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I will say go get some carpet grass at the co-op, and if you have any sunlight at all, scratch up the soil and see if you can get the carpet grass to come in there. It's a clumping grass. It's not a turf, but it is a clumping grass, and it will hold the soil in place and oftentimes looks pretty nice too. So both of those things work. I don't know what to say. If you're gonna work on my head, if I've got something that needs to be, well, looked into, wouldn't it be nice if we could just like pull our hair back and they could see through and look in and see what the problem was? Or even in your tummy, if they could do that? Well, it's not to people yet. But there are, in fact, some work going on at UT Dallas reporting in Science, which is a really prestigious publication. So you know this is not foolishness. They have done this with mice. They are forming see-through covers, see-through skin, all right? And the way that they get this to become this way is through a combination of water and something that we all see all the time, tartrazine. That's yellow dye number 5. It does not occur naturally. This is not something you're going to go out and find a way to do organically. It's a product that is made in the laboratory. And it does start with petroleum products. So in that regard, it is, in fact, from nature. But it's a long way from the nature. And it is one of those things that we use a whole lot of. And some people are very sensitive to it. But it is an interesting notion that we could possibly do this, that we could possibly see what's going on. Or, for example, if you had a tumor removed from your head, maybe they could put the clear skin so they can always go back and look. They don't have to go back invasively. There's a lot of things that I read that were implications of this. So I thought that was pretty fascinating stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. One question about caladiums and storing them. What I had said was to, yes, go ahead and dig them up. If it's real wet, though, you probably want to wait a few days to do that. You don't want to dig into the soil with a wet shovel or a wet trowel and accidentally hit the caladium bulb because it will damage it. So let it be a little bit drier than it is, and I think you'll have a much better reaction that way. I like it. Yes, line 1, please. Thank you very much. Hey, Carl. What's going on? Hello, Carl.
I have got a...
go ahead.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I've got a orchard that's set in an old house place,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a spot that keeps sinking down. You know, it's like something down where I've had to put dirt in it like twice in 8 years, so it's not a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a mulberry tree about 10 foot tall and about a 15-gallon pot. I was thinking about planting it right there in that old, what I believe is an old well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you think that might be a bad idea or...
No, I don't think that's a problem at all. I don't think that's a problem at all. What I will say, though, is that of all the things you might choose, mulberry is certainly in my top 3 of things that could take that kind of setting. So I think you're on the right track. I have a spot.
Okay,
I can't put a mulberry tree in mine, but I have a spot that sinks ever since the tornado took the tree out of my front garden. And with the stump is gone, but the whole thing just continues to sink. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And in every couple of years, I have to throw some more stuff in there to keep it level with the rest of the space. But there's no reason to think that it's not going to do fine. I mean, you've got sunlight, right? So.
Yes, I've got a lot of sunlight. And I was thinking the mulberry tree would have enough of a root system.
Yes.
Once it gets established, that it would. If the ground did sink, it'd fall it on down. And
it does tend to be a little bit more deeply rooted than say, a fig tree, which is all at the surface. So I think the mulberries are a real good choice. Tell me what else is growing in your orchard.
I've got red apples and green apples, red apples, yellow apples, peaches, figs, muscadines, capernaums.
That just sounds wonderful.
Pear trees. Plum tree.
Carl, that sounds wonderful.
Just a lot of it's whatever I can find on sale.
I hear that. I do hear that. Thank you for calling today. I want to see a picture of that mulberry, okay? So get that for us.
Okay. I'll get it planted. I'll send you a picture.
That'll be great. I love that. I wanted to tell y'all, thank you, Carl. Appreciate that. There's coming up this fall, the... first ever October plant sale at the Truck Crops Experiment Station in Crystal Springs is coming up October 17th and 18th. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this now is because, as Carl says, we always like to find things on time and on sale, but we also like to find them at top quality. And it won't be on sale. It'll be there because you can't find it anyplace else. This is the Southern Cultured Orchard and Nursery. Brilliant, brilliant plants. Smart folks. So, put that on your calendar, things like Asian persimmons and figs and mulberries and heirloom apples and pears and whatnot. October 17 and 18 starts early in the morning. Doesn't go much past noon, so invite yourself to the Truck Crops Experiment Station. You'll be glad you did. It's going to be fun. I don't imagine that I'll be there, because if I start planting many more trees at my place, the ones that are falling over will fall on top of them, so I'm not going to do that. But I got to tell you, this will be a brilliant place to go and see fruit trees and to understand more about what's going on. Let's see. Is Mize with us? Can we talk? Hey, Mize in Oxford.
Yes.
What's up with your coneflowers?
Yes, ma'am. They've been neglected all summer. And all the plants probably have six or eight of them. They're well-established, but they've developed some kind of a fungus, and the leaves have these kind of whitish-looking spots on them, and there's some dark spots on them. And they're kind of brittle around the edges of the leaves.
Okay.
And I don't know. I assume I need some kind of a fungicide to put on. But I have a second question.
Mm-hmm.
Would it do to just cut them back?
Yes.
And let them start over?
Yes, that's what I would do. I would cut off and don't compost the part that's been damaged, but I would cut them off, and as the new growth comes up, I would spray that with fungicide. Yeah. Let's inoculate it against the next round. Because I think that's all it is. I think here's the thing. Coneflowers can take damper conditions than something like Rudbeckia, you know, than black-eyed Susans. But they still don't like to be real wet. And we've had more rain this spring and summer than most years. So I think we're seeing a little bit of that. It just means the leaves just don't look so great. And, yes, I would go ahead, cut them back. And as the new growth comes up, whether it comes up now, it may not come up until next spring. Whenever that is, that's when I would spray with a fungicide.
I see. That was my thinking, and I didn't want to do anything before I asked you what to do. So
I'm
really
so glad we agree.
Taking this time.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
Well, appreciate
that. You have a good day.
Thank you very much. Have a great one. I did mention this before, but I'm going to bring it back to you because I think we need to be cooking this afternoon, Lance. It is not only beer; it is beard, but it is Beer Lovers Day. I'm thinking acorn squash soup made with beer. And then topped with bacon, because those are all three things that we're supposed to celebrate today. And you know that would be good. I know it's a little bit cool, but not quite cool enough for soup, but we could try.
Well, I'm a soup. I'll eat some soup. Give me a good old soup and sandwich.
Yep, we can do
and
that.
A beer, man.
See?
Just don't make me shave my beard.
No, nobody's going to make you do that. No one's going to make you do that. I will tell you, though, that when it comes to understanding about those, what we call the winter squashes, these are so misnamed. They're not winter squashes. The idea that the reason they're called winter squashes is because you could store them through a lot of the winter if you had a root cellar. Okay? Well, then that means that turnips are also winter something. I mean, but it's a misnomer. But the reason that they're different from summer squash and zucchini is because they have a hard shell. They also take longer to produce pumpkins. They're close produce squash. They're closer to pumpkins in that regard. They're all related to one another, and then you end up, of course, with some ideas about what you're going to do with them. And the first time I ever was told what to do is that somebody else had an acorn squash. I'd never seen one, and they said, "Take that cleaver and cut it in half." And I thought, "Oh, this is not going to go well at all." But sure enough, once you got through that thick, hard shell, which is the reason they can be kept, you know, they won't rot, and straight through that flesh, it was beautiful. Open it up to this gorgeous orange flesh, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of butter, off you go. And it was one of the best things that I had never eaten before. Now, I like to do other things with them, but you're never going to be, no matter what you decide to do with a hard shell squash, whether it's a Hubbard or it might be an acorn, might even be a spaghetti squash. Sometimes those have a really hard shell. They're kind of in between the two types of squash, but they are harder to deal with. All of those things are going to benefit from being cooked a little bit before you start making something out of them. So just remember that. I'm certainly not the best chef in the world by any means, but I do like to cook. I was looking at the horse apples that Mark brought They're also called Osage oranges. If you know Bodock tree, why do all these names? This is a book in itself. Is how come these things are horse apples and Bodock tree fruit? And anyway, but the big question of are they edible or not goes back to what a dear friend of mine, who was one of the first people to promote flowers for edible flowers. We've always known people ate flowers, but when they became a thing. Ed Nichols was always really quick to say, well, yeah, most are edible. Most are not toxic. Most are not going to make you sick, but you may not like the taste of all of them. And that is the case with horse apples or Bodock. It's a starchy thing and very, very few people eat it. It's a wildlife thing. But then somebody's going to send me a recipe here in a minute and tell me what all I'm missing, because that's how this works. Okay. Bring that soup over across the freeway here. We can do that too. I have a couple of ideas for you, particularly because we are having some wet weather. And one of the things you can really do very, very well at this point is to replace lawn in the sun that has not done so well. Or, if you have an area where it has sunk, and you want to go in and put in that inch of sand now because you're going to allow it to grow back up through it. I had to do that. There were a couple of holes where the French drain collapsed in my front yard, and the lawn itself was fine, but it just had some holes in it. So we added a little bit to it, and then we turn around and put a little bit of sand on it, and it has all grown back up. It's a little bit. It'll take another year to get it fully back up to the way. Thanks again so very, very much for that picture of this watermelon and these good-looking men standing around it.
The watermelon's about as big as the gas tank.
The pretend one painted like one. Yes, that's appreciate that. The propane tank. See, yeah. We got a propane tank, and it is a Charleston gray watermelon. I'm here to tell you. So I'm going to give you that. Not that I really know, but that's what the variety looks like. It's that beautiful stripe. Love that. Oh, Andrea, that's gorgeous. It bloomed again. That crazy Scodoxis, beautiful bulb. It's one of those things that you don't know you're going to like, and then you do, you know, and that's why we're so happy that hers, and it grows in a container. It's not a plant for out in the yard, quote unquote, but it is a beautiful, beautiful plant. We'll come back. We're going to talk about some apple trees. Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back. Talk about one thing and another. Gosh, this has been a fast morning, y'all. We need to Mark to come in the first hour more often. He keeps us awake. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you, the farm family.
If your engine is...
That is a lot of watermelon. The questions come in immediately when the video, when the picture goes up on the supertalk.tv. Did they save the seeds? How does it taste? we don't know any of those questions, but any of those answers, I should say. But my question is, how much fertilizer did they use? I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know these things.
I had the same question when I saw that alligator that was caught in the Yazoo. It's like, how much fertilizer did they use on the head of that
Good
thing? Goodness
grief.
Gracious.
That was so impressive.
Yeah. The head of that alligator.
I really appreciated watching the wildlife professional telling us that you can't catch them under 7 feet and only however many above so many other feet. In other words, there's a range in there. And if you get that one big one, you're basically done. You have other smaller ones, but you can't get another. The one that takes five people to hold, you know.
You know, we have so many, and I've seen some ones that rival that
and
on our land, but it's so shallow to get to them. They're smart. They're on the north end of our bayou, which you can't get to them.
They're ancient. They're smart. They're much smarter than us.
Like, so when the water's up, you know, you can see them out there, but it's not gator season. And this time of year, the water's so low in those bayous they're like, man, you can't get
to us. You can't get here.
And so
we'll
seeing
see
that,
you coming.
They had to be in the Yazoo or the Channel because that's about the only waterway I'm aware of around. And that's like maybe 2 miles, 3 miles from where we are. And by the way, the crow flies. So, you know, I was so proud to see that they braved it. I mean, that thing pulled them like 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah.
Down the Yazoo.
The story was just
and then the
hair-raising.
Yeah, 2 or 3 ladies in the crew. And we're going to have her on this coming week on the gala show, I believe. I don't know exactly the day, so keep your ears to the tracks. You'll want to hear this story and the crew that caught the big gator.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's one of those. I recognize that they have reality shows of all this stuff, but these are actual real people. Okay, this is such a wonderful set of stories because it's so important. I've never had alligator shoes. I've never had an alligator.
That would make an alligator car.
I got to tell you, it is a spectacular leather. It is a beautiful.
This thing,
beautiful.
I've never seen one the head that large on one.
Oh, no, that thing is as big as my car.
It was probably over 60 years old for that. And no telling how many dogs
ancient,
that old rascal
ancient,
had eaten.
You know, ancient. And the only thing I remember, because I was so young the first time I was in the woods and they said, look over there, because it was the swamp, you know, and there's alligator over there, is the eyes at night. That is so...
Oh, yeah.
So memorable.
That's the thing. You can go out there at that bayou and park on the south side, and it goes for about 5 miles in any direction.
I love that.
And just take a Q-beam and, you know, shine it out there on the far end. It's about 350 yards across. So, you know, you can just see eyes everywhere.
I love it. And you understand this is part of living with and understanding who else lives where you are. Okay? I'm going to take this down to the neighborhood level. Again, this year, because this happened every year that I have ever been on the radio in this central part of Zone 8, I get the note that says, what are these things sticking up at my house? And you go, I don't know. Tell me a little more about it. And they go, well, they look like, they look like mud. And are you living by a body of water?
Oh, that is.
Yes, I just bought a house at the reservoir. Okay. The crawdads were there before you. The crawfish live in those. And so my answer has always been, because I don't want you to start knocking them down and moving the crawfish around, and I don't want you to try to harvest them to eat either, although crawfish races are almost as fun as hermit crab races.
Now I lived by the crawfish race as a kid.
But put a berm in front of it between there and your house. Then you have a view. You've created something where you can plant stuff that you want to watch grow. And then you can walk around it and go out to the water and enjoy the crawfish. Because that's their world. They were there first. It is very difficult to say that because we now have, you know, a black bear wandering down the street in Vicksburg. And we have, you know, deer coming in and eating all the roses, you know, and one thing and another. But yes, in some cases we have displaced them. And in other cases they've gotten a little bolder and said, well, we used to live over there. You know, let me go see what those people are doing. You have to be smart and you have to be aware. And there's no one answer to these issues. So pay attention to what's going on in your property. and tell Lance to not take the waiters out to the bayou. You don't want to go talk to them.
Yes, too. A little early right now for I need it to drop into the 50s.
Exactly. We don't want them to do that for us.
I got a new
us.
Pair of waiters, so I'm excited about
Paula,
that.
I did not know this. Paula knows more about gators than I do, perhaps more than you. I have been to an alligator festival in South Louisiana and eaten lots of alligator cooked different ways, but I never knew that the jaw meat is supposed to be the best. That she says good. It is the best. I don't know.
Now, like a turkey neck.
I don't know about that either.
The best meat on the turkey is the neck.
Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had a turkey neck.
I've never had it.
People will swear by the turkey's neck.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm like, okay, if you say
okay,
so.
Okay, then. We can go down that road, but I don't happen to know the answer to that one. I really don't. Gator hunting, she says, in Houma. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good spot to do it.
That's beautiful. I do love Houma. It's one of, as in terms of towns in that probably shouldn't exist because they've been assaulted by storms for so many years. Houma's one of the most beautiful ones.
Just yeah, she's got a nice little crew of gators there.
That's her granddad.
Corralled.
Mm-hmm. That's her dad gator hunting in Houma.
Man, I love it. And the house back there in the back. You see that? That's how you do it, right?
That's fancy.
Yeah.
That's fancy. Yeah. When alligator purses and alligator handbags and alligator luggage and all that stuff got to be so popular that we had to slow down the hunting of the alligators, I can remember, because my mother loved those. My mother wore alligator shoes. And I can remember her saying she was going to have to buy several pair because it would be about 10 years before they would let them hunt again. And sure enough, it was. It didn't take any longer than that for the alligators to build their populations up in that particular place. So interesting. Yep, that's a great picture to have of your dad, too, hanging out with all of those. Ooh, beautiful hummingbird moth. Thank you, Bill. Bill in Perkinston. The morning glory has got to be the center of this critter's world. The hummingbird moths, if y'all don't happen to know, are as big as hummingbirds, but they're moths.
They are.
And
those things are huge.
They look like slow-flying tankers, okay? I mean, they really are big old things when they come into your garden. It's delightful. They're much slower than that one fast hummingbird that's at my house.
Yeah, Hawk, he can catch those big old moths, the big green ones.
Don't let him have that Luna moth.
No, he it's not letting.
Like you're going to stop him.
No letting. I'll do the best I can stopping. And you did see the rat one of my cats got for me.
I did. Man, that was impressive.
I saw that Hawk had him cornered the other day. It took off running, jumped over him, and never saw it again. And then the rain, and he looked.
He was
for
surprised.
Hours. Yeah. He's like, what? And then the rain came and flushed it out, and sunshine.
Somebody
I think,
asked me this, so you have to tell me again what kind of dog he actually is, because this is not just a dog.
Yeah, he's a German short-haired pointer.
German short-haired pointer. He's beautiful.
He's
really
a dude
nice dog
now.
Too.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. Yeah, I mean, if you've never had one, that was my first. I'm a lab guy, and I've been blown away at this, the personality and the dedication to cause.
Very much, all of that.
And then when it's time to sleep.
The last question of this morning is, what is the best way to keep deer out of my orchard? I'm thinking of putting in an electric fence. I think you're on the right track.
I really do.
I'm not being facetious. I'm telling you the truth. Thank you for being here. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
It's a big job keeping a whole planet fed. More American producers are turning to the fuel that gives them the power to do it, propane. With lower costs, cleaner emissions, and greater reliability, propane can do more around your operation better than any other fuel. And with an abundant supply made right here in the U.S., you're helping America stay energy independent. We've got a world to feed, so let's get to work in a clean energy revolution. Energy for everyone. Propane. For more information, visit mspropane.com.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you, too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.